English Listening Comprehension Test Spring 2005 Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the correct alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. Now you will hear Part 1 twice. First listen to it straight through.
This morning we're very, very pleased to have Richard Braithwaite with us. Richard's going to recount an event from his days as a welfare officer for the London County Council.
This happened a few years back, but it remains fresh in my memory. I was alone in the office the Saturday morning when the call came in from the police. A young mother of three small children had had a heart attack. She died suddenly without warning. Mr. Pridey, the grief-stricken young husband, was in a state of shock. He was quite unable to do much for the children, two small boys and their baby sister. The police had been called in by the neighbours, and the police thought that we should take the children into the council's care for the time being. I set out to find the address the police sergeant had given me. Mr. Pridey, the bereaved husband, occupied a small first-floor flat in one of the new London County Council housing projects, not far from New Cross Railway Terminal. I knocked on his door, 47 Ravensmead House. No answer. I knocked several times. Then the door of the apartment next to his was opened by a middle-aged woman. At first she seemed surprised to see me. She opened her mouth, but then her face settled into a stiff, unpleasant mask. She regarded me with cold, silent hostility. The woman's husband appeared beside her in the doorway. I was 4 feet from them. They talked to each other, ignoring me. "What's up?" "He's asking for Pridey. What does he want with him?" I suddenly decided to keep my mouth shut and see how far they would carry their ridiculous attitude. After a few minutes of silence, she asked me, "What do you want with him? You a friend of his?" Now I was angry. Who did she think she was? Making my voice as authoritative as possible, I told her I was a welfare officer. They're about the children. I said the police had sent me. I asked the couple if they knew where the children were. The husband answered, "Here with us." The woman turned to glare at her husband for answering. I pressed on, asking about Mr. Pridey. The husband said he was out, but coming back in a moment. I continued, "May I see the children? May I come in?" The answer came back like a shot from the woman. "No, not in my house. No niggers coming in my house." I had known from the moment I met her that the woman either didn't like me or hated people of my skin colour. Just then, footsteps could be heard coming up the stairs from the ground floor. A neatly dressed, dark-skinned young man appeared and walked around us to number 47. He went in. Then the husband said, "There's Pridey." I knocked. The young man opened the door. Yes, he was Pridey. He looked stunned or drugged. After shaking his head a moment, he started to talk. I'd been talking with the Larkins. Mrs. Larkin hated his guts. Yet she was the first to appear when his wife fell in the kitchen that morning. She always greeted his wife, who was white. She wouldn't even look at him. And Mrs. Larkin was always buying sweets and things for the kids. Then Pridey began to sob. He told me it was his wife's heart. While she was having Marie, the baby, the doctor warned her. She'd been taking it easy. She wasn't sick or anything. There was just a noise in the kitchen in the morning when she fell. Then Mr. Pridey told me that after the doctor and the ambulance came, Mrs. Larkin came in and said she'd look after the kids. So I then suggested that we go next door and see the children. The door opened quickly to our knock. Mrs. Larkin yelled for her husband to bring the kids to the door. Two little boys hugged Mr. Pridey's legs. Then gently, but firmly, Mrs. Larkin drew the children back and pushed them back indoors behind her. She folded her arms defiantly across her chest. I said we had a place in a home reserved for all three children. Mrs. Larkin said, "No, I'm sure Mrs. Pridey wouldn't have wanted her children put in no home. They can stay right here where they are." She shut the door. Mr. Pridey and I discussed the situation. We came to the conclusion that she loved the children. She would take good care of them until he was able to take them back home.
Now listen to the same story in six sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
This morning we're very, very pleased to have Richard Braithwaite with us. Richard's going to recount an event from his days as a welfare officer for the London County Council.
This happened a few years back, but it remains fresh in my memory. I was alone in the office the Saturday morning when the call came in from the police. A young mother of three small children had had a heart attack. She died suddenly without warning. Mr. Pridey, the grief-stricken young husband, was in a state of shock. He was quite unable to do much for the children, two small boys and their baby sister. The police had been called in by the neighbours, and the police thought that we should take the children into the council's care for the time being.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
I set out to find the address the police sergeant had given me. Mr. Pridey, the bereaved husband, occupied a small first-floor flat in one of the new London County Council housing projects, not far from New Cross Railway Terminal. I knocked on his door, 47 Ravensmead House. No answer. I knocked several times. Then the door of the apartment next to his was opened by a middle-aged woman. At first she seemed surprised to see me. She opened her mouth, but then her face settled into a stiff, unpleasant mask. She regarded me with cold, silent hostility.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
The woman's husband appeared beside her in the doorway. I was 4 feet from them. They talked to each other, ignoring me. What's up? He's asking for Pridey. What does he want with him? I suddenly decided to keep my mouth shut and see how far they would carry their ridiculous attitude. After a few minutes of silence, she asked me, what do you want with him? You a friend of his? Now I was angry. Who did she think she was? Making my voice as authoritative as possible, I told her I was a welfare officer. They're about the children. I said the police had sent me.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
I asked the couple if they knew where the children were. The husband answered, here with us. The woman turned to glare at her husband for answering. I pressed on, asking about Mr. Pridey. The husband said he was out, but coming back in a moment. I continued, may I see the children? May I come in? The answer came back like a shot from the woman. No, not in my house. No niggers coming in my house. I had known from the moment I met her that the woman either didn't like me or hated people of my skin colour. Just then, footsteps could be heard coming up the stairs from the ground floor. A neatly dressed, dark-skinned young man appeared and walked around us to number 47. He went in. Then the husband said, "There's Pridey."
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
I knocked. The young man opened the door. Yes, he was Pridey. He looked stunned or drugged. After shaking his head a moment, he started to talk. I'd been talking with the Larkins. Mrs. Larkin hated his guts. Yet she was the first to appear when his wife fell in the kitchen that morning. She always greeted his wife, who was white. She wouldn't even look at him. And Mrs. Larkin was always buying sweets and things for the kids. Then Pridey began to sob. He told me it was his wife's heart. While she was having Marie, the baby, the doctor warned her. She'd been taking it easy. She wasn't sick or anything. There was just a noise in the kitchen in the morning when she fell.
Answer questions 9 and 10, then look at questions 11 and 12.
Then Mr. Pridey told me that after the doctor and the ambulance came, Mrs. Larkin came in and said she'd look after the kids. So I then suggested that we go next door and see the children. The door opened quickly to our knock. Mrs. Larkin yelled for her husband to bring the kids to the door. Two little boys hugged Mr. Pridey's legs. Then gently, but firmly, Mrs. Larkin drew the children back and pushed them back indoors behind her. She folded her arms defiantly across her chest. I said we had a place in a home reserved for all three children. Mrs. Larkin said, "No, I'm sure Mrs. Pridey wouldn't have wanted her children put in no home. They can stay right here where they are." She shut the door. Mr. Pridey and I discussed the situation. We came to the conclusion that she loved the children. She would take good care of them until he was able to take them back home.
Answer questions 11 and 12. This is the second part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. Each one involves a different situation with different speakers. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 13.
John, have you read the paper?
No, I haven't had time today. Why? What does it say?
It quotes four senators. They say we need more talk about sex on TV and in the media. They say we have created an environment where there's almost a conspiracy of silence when it comes to sexuality. They say we need more public discussion of sex. And everything is sex, sex, sex already.
Huh? And what does the paper have to say about all this?
Would you believe it completely agrees with the senators? I don't know what the editors were thinking.
Answer question 13. Look at question 14.
Do you realise it's been 4 years?
Uh-huh. 4 years of what?
4 years since the London Metropolitan Police started a television campaign.
Yeah, don't keep me waiting.
A campaign encouraging child passengers to harass their parents about their bad driving.
You must be joking.
Answer question 14, then look at question 15.
The paper keeps using the phrase, otherwise law-abiding. That's irritating!
Now I know what you mean. It makes something go off in your head.
Well, this morning on the news, a serial killer was described as otherwise law-abiding. That's absurd! A serial killer!
The very idea that a murderer should be portrayed as humane, maybe even likable, it's a contradiction.
Answer question 15. Look at question 16.
Did you see the documentary on TV last night about bathing water purity?
No, I didn't.
Well, the EU's trying to come up with new regulations for bathing water at beaches.
Yes, water pollution's a major problem.
Yes, but they were talking about the scientific issues in the proposal. Current levels for safe water are supposed to allow a 12% risk. That's the EU figure. But the numbers released by the British Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs show that the risk is only 4%.
That's odd. They'll have to work that one out.
Answer question 16, then look at question 17.
Did you see the nature program about snakes?
Yes, it was fascinating. I was especially interested in Mary.
I don't remember a snake called Mary.
Yeah, she's the world's first self-cloning python. Several snake species are known to reproduce without sperm. That's known as parthenogenesis. This is the first time this was known to happen in a zoo in Amsterdam. Her keepers saw this happen just last week.
That's wild!
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Have you heard that Prince Charles has been speaking out about farming again?
Well, one never knows which way to take him. This time he's been talking about the size of farms under the Common Agricultural Policy. And he's been talking about organic foods. I think those are quite important things.
You don't say.
Yes, I read yesterday that he listens to the very best advisers on agricultural matters, and he farms his estate under sustainable methods.
Well, I'll be...
But the man's a complete idiot when it comes to architecture.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
Do you know what's the most useless kitchen device ever invented?
No. Is it the thing that separates the egg white and yolk?
No. It's a kitchen computer built back in 1965 for the exclusive Neiman Marcus department store.
Well, why was it useless?
It had a row of blinking lights with a row of switches. You had to program information into it in binary code. 01010001010, you know, like that. And you had to read the information coming out on the blinking lights. And even that was in binary code. And all it did was remember recipes. It came with a 2-week programming course. They never sold any of them. Imagine programming recipes into that monster.
Yeah, imagine.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Do you have any idea how many British drivers think that it's dangerous to have a child talking to them from the rear seat?
No, how many?
Well, here in the paper it says that 2/3 consider it dangerous.
But that number must go up if there are 2 kids who are fighting.
Probably so. But strangely enough, the police are worried about people talking on phones or speeding.
I know, it's really odd.
Answer question 20, then look at question 21.
Harry?
Yeah?
Did you notice what happened at dinner last night?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, Sally was really running Peter down. She kept going on and on about his behavior.
Yeah, I know. It was awful.
Answer question 21. Look at question 22.
Did you see the scene yesterday when John broke the vase his mother had left him?
Yeah, there was no reason for him to be clowning around in his own flat like that.
And the scene he put on afterward. It's no use crying over spilt milk.
I'll say.
Answer question 22. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Hello and welcome. I'm Anne Underwood, and this morning I have Robert Saltzman with me in the studio. Robert is dean of the University of Southern California Law School, and he's here with advice on how to get into law school. We're pleased to have you with us, Robert.
Thank you, Anne. I'm very happy to be here.
What should students keep in mind when preparing applications?
Think of your application as a challenge, and try to imagine how a good lawyer would present the case. If there are questionable things in your background, a poor grade or low law school aptitude test scores, don't think that if you ignore the problems, we won't notice them. If you don't speak to these negatives, we assume you have something to hide.
What makes a case convincing?
It carries a lot of weight if a professor tells us to disregard a poor grade. If, on the other hand, you just have your roommate saying he's a nice guy and would make a great lawyer, that won't do much for your application. Just make sure we know what makes you different. As we do the jigsaw puzzle of putting a class together, we want both the student who got arrested at civil rights demonstrations and the arresting officer. We want people with experience in fundraising and nonprofits, government service, social welfare, mental health advocacy, such things.
What are some do's and don'ts?
Do follow directions. Fill out all the forms. Respond to all questions. Don't behave the way you think lawyers behave, tormenting us in the admissions office, yelling, threatening us. I understand that people are anxious about their applications, but calling us every day won't help. Some applicants are so difficult that if I talk to other law schools, they know immediately whom I'm describing. Students should realize law schools talk to each other regularly.
How should students select which schools to apply to?
The apparent differences among law schools are sometimes misleading in that, to a great extent, the core curriculum is basically the same, no matter where you go. Applicants often say they're interested in environmental law or international law, maybe child advocacy, which are all hot fields. They even start out in these, but the data tell us that they change their minds. Choose a school where the opportunities are good, and where you can get strong training, not just in one narrow area, but across the board.
Now listen to the same discussion in four sections. Look at questions 23 and 24.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ann Underwood, and this morning I have Robert Saltzman with me in the studio. Robert is dean of the University of Southern California Law School, and he's here with advice on how to get into law school. We're pleased to have you with us, Robert.
Thank you, Ann. I'm very happy to be here.
What should students keep in mind when preparing applications?
Think of your application as a challenge, and try to imagine how a good lawyer would present the case. If there are questionable things in your background, a poor grade or low law school aptitude test scores, don't think that if you ignore the problems, we won't notice them. If you don't speak to these negatives, we assume you have something to hide.
Answer questions 23 and 24. Look at questions 25 and 26.
What makes a case convincing?
It carries a lot of weight if a professor tells us to disregard a poor grade. If, on the other hand, you just have your roommate saying he's a nice guy and would make a great lawyer, that won't do much for your application. Just make sure we know what makes you different. As we do the jigsaw puzzle of putting a class together, we want both the student who got arrested at civil rights demonstrations and the arresting officer. We want people with experience in fundraising and nonprofits, government service, social welfare, mental health advocacy, such things.
Answer questions 25 and 26, then look at questions 27 and 28.
What are some do's and don'ts?
Do follow directions. Fill out all the forms. Respond to all questions. Don't behave the way you think lawyers behave, tormenting us in the admissions office, yelling, threatening us. I understand that people are anxious about their applications, but calling us every day won't help. Some applicants are so difficult that if I talk to other law schools, they know immediately whom I'm describing. Students should realize law schools talk to each other regularly.
Answer questions 27 and 28. Look at questions 29 and 30.
How should students select which schools to apply to?
The apparent differences among law schools are sometimes misleading in that, to a great extent, the core curriculum is basically the same, no matter where you go. Applicants often say they're interested in environmental law or international law, maybe child advocacy, which are all hot fields. They even start out in these, but the data tell us that they change their minds. Choose a school where the opportunities are good, and where you can get strong training, not just in one narrow area, but across the board.
Answer questions 29 and 30. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate story. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
The Senate of the State of Oregon passed a law which increased the speed limit on rural highways from 65 to 70 miles per hour. This was a smart move. But the governor stopped the bill, saying it would cost too much because the state would need more highway police. That's not smart. Most people are driving at a safe, comfortable speed on these roads right now, and that's 70 miles per hour. So if we increase the speed limit just a little, we'll need fewer officers. Fewer people will be speeding. That's basic logic. The governor just doesn't understand.
Now listen to this again and then answer question A.
The Senate of the State of Oregon passed a law which increased the speed limit on rural highways from 65 to 70 miles per hour. This was a smart move. But the governor stopped the bill, saying it would cost too much because the state would need more highway police. That's not smart. Most people are driving at a safe, comfortable speed on these roads right now, and that's 70 miles per hour. So if we increase the speed limit just a little, we'll need fewer officers. Fewer people will be speeding. That's basic logic. The governor just doesn't understand.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
And a note from Amsterdam. A jeweler sent out 4,000 letters to mark the 10th anniversary of his store. 200 of these contained real diamonds. Afterwards, he found out that most of the diamonds had simply been thrown away as junk mail. A note in the letters had informed people that they could keep the diamonds. And the jeweler admits that he was rather naive about the whole affair.
Now listen to this again, and then answer question B.
And a note from Amsterdam. A jeweler sent out 4,000 letters to mark the 10th anniversary of his store. 200 of these contained real diamonds. Afterwards, he found out that most of the diamonds had simply been thrown away as junk mail. A note in the letters had informed people that they could keep the diamonds. And the jeweler admits that he was rather naive about the whole affair.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
It's a trade-off. You decide. If you don't exercise regularly, 20 minutes a day, you'll lose 1.5 years of your life expectancy. If you reckon you'll live to be about 75, the 20 minutes of daily exercise will take up over 1 year out of your lifetime. You win? You lose. It's 1 year against 1.5 years. It's probably not worth getting out of your armchair.
Now listen to this again and then answer question C.
It's a trade-off. You decide. If you don't exercise regularly, 20 minutes a day, you'll lose 1.5 years of your life expectancy. If you reckon you'll live to be about 75, the 20 minutes of daily exercise will take up over 1 year out of your lifetime. You win? You lose. It's 1 year against 1.5 years. It's probably not worth getting out of your armchair.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
For all you Posh Spice fans out there, Victoria Beckham has been asked where she gets her hair extensions, and don't we love all that hair? Victoria Posh said, "My extensions come from Russian prisoners, so I've got Russian cell block H on my head." That shows the extreme sensitivity we all enjoy so much in our pop stars. Not. Never mind the ethical issues involved. Is it all just another urban legend?
Now listen to this again, and then answer question D.
For all you Posh Spice fans out there, Victoria Beckham has been asked where she gets her hair extensions, and don't we love all that hair? Victoria Posh said, "My extensions come from Russian prisoners, so I've got Russian cell block H on my head." That shows the extreme sensitivity we all enjoy so much in our pop stars. Not. Never mind the ethical issues involved. Is it all just another urban legend?
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
And now for a lovely piece of news from good old Britain. Commuters wishing to park their vehicles at Wakefield Station have been surprised by the sign at the car park entrance. It says, because of the damage to the car park gates, there is no charge for parking. These machines will be fixed shortly. Please accept our apologies for any inconvenience caused. There is no truth, I repeat, no truth in the rumour that the railway has received letters from angry drivers complaining about free parking.
Now listen to this again and then answer question E.
And now for a lovely piece of news from good old Britain. Commuters wishing to park their vehicles at Wakefield Station have been surprised by the sign at the car park entrance. It says, because of the damage to the car park gates, there is no charge for parking. These machines will be fixed shortly. Please accept our apologies for any inconvenience caused. There is no truth, I repeat, no truth in the rumour that the railway has received letters from angry drivers complaining about free parking.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. Also, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.